This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're brought to you by the Verdoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for all Chicago sports and betting news. Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Bears Hour Live or 100 proof, even if the Bears win or lose. A Bears Barroom, they're the ones that fight for truth. Bears Hour Live or 100 proof, no matter if the Bears win or lose. A Bears Barroom, they're the ones that fight for truth. Bears Hour Live or 100 proof.
The first half, not scoring any points is always not what the goal is. You want to be able to put points up on the board. We didn't do that. Came out the second half and played better. You know, ball security is probably the number one issue there, protecting the football. You got to try to win the turnover battle. And then on defense, again, the first half, it felt like it was probably a little bit more than 7-0, but for the most part, to go into halftime after playing how we did, to have it be 7-0, to come out and play the next two quarters, I was happy with the start. But then the second half, there were some missed tackles and some big plays. I mean, that's really what it comes down to for our defense, is there were some quick hitters by their offense, and that's a credit to them. And then special teams, you know, for the most part, we did a pretty good job. And then obviously Cody and the rest of us would have liked him to make that. But that's a part of this game. And we win as a team and we lose as a team.
Here we go, Bears fans. You just heard Coach Nagy address yesterday's game. He seems to be like the rest of us. The gut shot loss, sitting in recovery mode, licking our wounds, ready to face this thing head on. My name is Bobby Phelan. I'll be providing the scalpel and the surgical tools tonight as the moderator for the longest running live interaction Bears podcast available, Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. We have a special guest in the house tonight, Paige DeMacos, at the sports page. Paige, and that is spelled like her name, P-A-I-G-E. She holds down the queen's throne in the barroom, joining us on numerous shows and always bringing her A-game and football acumen. She has the TD Fantasy podcast. She works with the Draft Network LLC with live Q&As every Wednesday. I've dubbed her the queen of Chicago sports. If you don't know who she is, you definitely need to step your game up. The Queen's Motorcade will be here shortly, but first, like we do every BHL, let's come out swinging and start with the doctor's rant and see what Phil has for us tonight.
Thanks, Bobby Bombs. This is BHL, and I'm fired up. Gassed. I know what you're thinking. Tired beyond belief. In a game, check that, in a street fight, that threw all the wouldas, the couldas, out the window. The horrific officiating, the horrific tackling, the horrific pass rush, the horrific turnovers, and the almost comical timing of those turnovers, and a couple of things stood out to me in this game from a coaching standpoint. But first, let me say this. My biggest concern going into this game, one, Mitchell Trubisky. He showed me something. He showed the warrior in him, the dog in him, that he's not gonna go down without a fight. He made plays when backed up against his own end zone. He threw the ball accurate and on time in the heat. He threw in critical moments with the blitz facing him, right in the face. He carried his team. He carried his performance over from Tampa. he threw down the field to help you win this game several times. And his turnover in the end zone, albeit horrific, and a narrative could have been made that he blew the game. But I continue to see that growth, that toughness that I want in my quarterback. And that is something you could bank on for the future. That said, in the coach's corner with me, there's an issue. A serious one, in fact. Creative thinking is awesome. But coming out of the bye week, that's been a gigantic hurdle for every Bears coach we have had since Mike Ditka himself. Being prepared by having 2 weeks to do so means you, as the head coach, are thinking of every hurdle, every obstacle, every condition. It's all planned for and is attacked on the football field. It was hot. The heat took its toll. Who's going to rise up? Who's the reflection of you, the head coach and the defensive coordinator? Who are these Bears? Coaching scared on both sides of the football took away a game that could have been an easy win. The talent on the field was skewed. The better team, they didn't win for so many reasons. But as the team is a direct reflection of its head coach, I felt the heat when it mattered most. He lost his aggressive edge, setting up a long field goal with a kicker who's inconsistent from 50 yards or above. That's settling, in my mind, for losing bet or a possible chance to win. But all my football sins are focused on Vic Fangio. The game plan you came up with in facing a much inferior football team with backup offensive linemen, a backup quarterback, with injuries around, and you having one of the best defenses in the league, sitting back in your zone-based philosophy, puts your talent at a disadvantage. You gave a quarterback scared to make a decision easy ones. You played right into the game. You played right into their hands. Some people are going to make excuses about the heat, and I know it was a factor. That's true. But this is the NFL. You get paid to be in shape. You get paid to go out there and win games by being aggressive. And this defense dropped the ball on this team. Tackling was atrocious. But most importantly, not manning up, not being aggressive on a backup quarterback named Brock Osweiler, who couldn't throw the deep ball, who wasn't accurate. You don't make accuracy easy. You take it away. And Vic decided to make it easy. And thought rallying to the football with players that are sweaty and tired and spent, gassed by the heat, was going to be the answer. And it wasn't. It blew up in the face of the Bears and the great franchise, and it embarrassed this team to another loss off the bye week. When you had 2 weeks to prepare, you failed. And it's unfortunate because your young quarterback stepped up and helped deliver. and you let him down several times. If you're making Albert Wilson look like Randy Moss in the open field, there's an issue. And that is my rant.
Excellent job, Phil. I think you hit almost every aspect of the game. I mean, today's fans weren't wanting to get out of bed. Those who did get out of bed, they were seeking some sort of counseling from the defense to tackling to coming off the bye week. Turnovers, kickers, misses, coaches, Mitch's bright spots. Dude, you covered it all, brother. You knocked that one out of the park. Nice work, man.
Thanks, Bobby. I mean, I'm hungover from the loss. I felt like a brick hit me in the face, and my whole head was swollen because there were so many ways to win that game, and we found every way possible to lose. That's the problem, and that's why I had to come with my rant and with our special guest tonight.
That's Randy. Right. The motorcade is here, and Paige has entered the bar room. Paige, welcome back to Bears Hour Live. It's always great having you on the Bears Barroom Radio Network shows. How you feeling today after what took place yesterday?
I'm feeling okay, only because Green Bay is losing the football game currently as we speak. So there's a little bright spot to the to what was a, you know, a disappointing loss, and there's a good way to recover from that is if Green Bay takes one in the shorts here at home. That'll take care of that feeling pretty quickly.
Well, I can't help but be excited to have you on the show at BHL. You know, Bears fans are very fired up. They're excited that you're going to be on the show tonight. I've seen it all over my timeline, as well as these Dolphins fans hating on me for putting up the clear holding penalty, as well as the other terrible call against Trey Burton. But we'll get into that. But before I do, Barflies and Bears Barroom would be remiss if I didn't ask, how is your brother doing? I know a lot of us really have been following that, as well as you, through the introduction to your family over here in Bears Barroom.
Oh, yeah. My brother's doing great. He's set to start his rehab tomorrow on his leg, so he's feeling pretty good. And like I said, I've said multiple times, it's I know it seems trivial, but sports has a good way of rallying a family around something that can bring everybody together and take your mind off of stuff. So it's been a long journey, but you know, a year spent in the hospital when the Cubs won the World Series really helped us through some tough times. And it would be a good motivating factor to watch the Bears win some games and get him feeling good and rehabbing. And so sports has always been an important part of our lives. We're both former athletes, and so it brings everybody in our family together around something. So it's got a special place in our hearts for sure.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, Bears fans have, if you don't know Paige's story, just go look at her timeline about her brother and the battles and the family. And speaking of the family, I hope Pops is all right with the Bears loss, because Plato's platoon that I named after your dad, my fantasy football team, is in first place, hopefully. And it's so weird, Paige, because Pierre Garçon needs to have a big night for Plato's platoon to continue the winning streak like Mike Norris. So hopefully I just saw him on TV just make a nice catch and run after against these dreaded, ugly, piss yellow and green uniforms that are on my TV. So I hope Pops is all right.
Pops is doing well. He's excited about his girls coming home. I'm gonna be attending the Bears game this weekend.
Yeah.
So I'll be at Soldier Field for Bears Patriots. It'll be a good one. I'm really looking forward to it. So a lot to look forward to. I'm excited to get home and get out there. It should be some good Bear weather. Only it's gonna be like 47 degrees, which for the Scottsdale girl will not be great. But my Chicago roots will have to. I'll have to break my my spirit of my 5 years in Arizona.
Well, we're gonna somehow get you that Bears barroom sweatshirt or skull cap to cover those ears and keep you warm. Someone's got to do that and reach out to Paige. Going to Soldier Field. I was 2 weeks shy of catching up with you, but let's get into this game real quick, Paige. How much do you think the Heat played into a role in the game yesterday at Miami and the Bears being put on the other side where there's no shade strategically? Did you think that played as much as a role as it's being talked about right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's more so not necessarily sitting in the sun. It's the humidity. Playing in Miami is really, really hard. And anybody who's ever played sports knows that humidity is legitimately the toughest thing to play through. You cramp, you get dehydrated, you get tired. Just humidity is, as people in Chicago know, it's miserable. Anytime that it's humid out, it's not enjoyable. And imagine trying to play sports at the highest level when it's humid. So yes, the sunshine is bad, but more so the humidity tired you out. And I think you could tell that the team just looked tired. You could tell they looked gassed. Yeah. You could tell the defense looked gassed. And I'm sorry, but they're coming off a bye week, so I refuse to believe that they're out of shape. It had to have been because of the weather. And I know that Matt Nagy said that it didn't play a role, and that's his job. He's the coach. He's not going to blame the loss on the weather. But I know I've played sports and I've ran track in humidity, and it sucks. So for anybody right. who doesn't think it played a factor, you probably never played sports. Because if you played sports, you would know humidity is awful, and it definitely played a role in yesterday's game.
Well, I know you're big in fantasy football, so let me kick off this question. You didn't get to hear all of my award-winning rant to start off the show to get people fired up, but I'm fired up. But I want to know if you're fired up. Are you buying or selling Mitch Trubisky?
I'm undecided. I thought about this a lot, and I know last year or 2 years ago, when the Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky, I was not happy. I was covering the Arizona Cardinals at the time, and I had a direct link to Bruce Arians, and he gave me the scouting report on all the quarterbacks, and his scouting report was not nice about Trubisky.
Wow.
If you know anything about Bruce Arians, the guy knows quarterbacks.
And oh, yeah.
I respect his opinion a lot about quarterbacks. And he loved Mahomes. And that was the only quarterback that he said he was willing to go up and get. And they were one spot away. If you remember, the Chiefs traded up to go in front of the Arizona Cardinals to take Mahomes. And they would have taken him. So for me, more so I think with Trubisky, I wasn't as necessarily as upset that they took a quarterback. If he turns out to be the guy for the next 15 years, it's fine. It's what they gave up to get Trubisky that I thought was unnecessary. I didn't think they needed to do. I know for a fact that they were not taking Trubisky. Nobody was taking Trubisky. So that was the frustrating part. Why I'm undecided is I have to see him play, with the exception of the Tampa Bay game, I need to see him play a full game of good football. He played a really good second half, but his first half was not good, Miami. And you can't, he's not at a place where he can only play half. The team isn't good enough to only have their quarterback play half. We haven't earned that right yet. He's not Aaron Rodgers, where he can just turn on this other level and just take over a game. He hasn't reached that point yet. So I need to see from him a complete game. And I need to see that a couple of times before I'm ready to buy in. Now, am I excited about Trubisky? Absolutely, I'm excited about him. The Bears have literally never had a good quarterback. So, of course, I'm excited about Trubisky. But that being said, I need to see more, and I need to see more progression from Matt Nagy in the play calling with Trubisky, his young quarterback. And I think that can happen. I just haven't seen it yet. So I can't say I'm all the way bought in. I'm just not ready to say it yet.
Well, let's stay there since you brought up the play calling, because I got a bunch of questions for you. I know our chat room is fired up because they're throwing questions. But I want to get into mine because you brought up Matt Nagy. Are you in the conservative market like my super producer behind the boards there with Nagy running the ball on third down yesterday in that critical overtime? Or are you with me? It was the perfect time for a play action or some sort of read option game because you had been running it down their throat to try to get that first down and be aggressive.
I was using a lot of language that I will not use on this podcast.
If you'd like.
I was very upset because you're setting up to kick a 53-yard field goal with all due respect, Cody Parkey? Are you freaking kidding me, dude? Like, that is not a given. That is not. Listen, have you watched the NFL? I mean, guys, the NFL kickers, great kickers, are missing field goals. No field goal is given in the NFL. And to set up from a conservative standpoint to sit there and kick a 50-plus yard field goal is absolutely moronic to me. And it reminded me, if you guys have watched Nagy in the play calling with the Chiefs in the past, they play not to lose instead of to win. And I don't want to see that from the Bears. I want gas pedal down their throats. We want to win the football game. And I think that's where you start to let off, and you saw that in the Green Bay game at the beginning of the season. Can't get conservative in that moment. I understand. There were a couple of times it was 3rd and 1 against Green Bay, and I was yelling at the TV, run the damn ball. And he didn't do it then. And then in the game against Miami, he's not calling a play that I think in that moment it wasn't the right thing to go conservative. So it's always easy to coach from the couch, okay? I recognize that. But at the same time, there are certain things and moments where I can't understand that. And that was one of those moments where it's not a given with any kicker, but it's especially not a given when you have Cody freaking Parkey. So, we got to get that play call in that moment was extremely disappointing to me.
Well, you're like me giving the long answer, but to counter you in this, you're talking about a chess match here. So I'm totally on your side, and I think it just needs a little bit more explanation in that fact that Paige is talking about playing conservative with the play call because it's 3rd and 4. If it's 3rd and 1, let's go. Yeah, Jordan Howard, sign me up. But it's 3rd and 4. You've been 100%. Grinding them. You have this chess match going on. They are sending their linebackers now because he got 19 and he got 15. He got 8. Then they bring in Cohen. He gets 3. And then I don't know how Benny Cunningham's on. I don't even know what's going on in that situation. And then Howard comes back out after a timeout. And it was the perfect time to be a coach with a chess match in your head, to throw them off, throw a dagger into their whole thing, and throw an action pass, hit the freaking tight end, get the first down, and drive down there, kick the field goal, and win. I totally love you that you said Cody freaking Parkey, because I'm at Soldier Field. I'm yelling to everybody, he's burying this 50-yarder. And I'm keeping it 100. Every fan that's listening to this podcast and the thousands that download it, no. I'm not going to lie to you. I was with you, Paige, screaming at the TV, so upset with these situational decisions that he tends to make in critical moments that aren't setting up what's in the best interest of your personnel in the football situation. I had no confidence that Parkey was going to make that. There was none. I wanted to be surprised that he did and say, thank God we won. Because you're right. He missed it. It's not hindsight for me. I was screaming. And that's 100% the truth. Thank you for getting me fired up again. I love this.
I just know, like, we don't have Robbie Gold back there. There's right. This is Gold. We don't have this luxury of having a guy who's consistent. And listen, that's a problem for a lot of NFL teams right now. There's some of the best guys are missing. Mason Crosby had a horrible week last week, a Pro Bowler, a guy who's been a stud throughout his career. I mean, that happens. But Cody Parkey has never really been great. And to watch them set up for a 50-plus yard field goal in that moment was disappointing to me because I knew he was going to miss that kick. I knew it.
I'm right there.
I would have put my life at Vegas and said he's going to miss the kick. I knew it. I knew he was going to miss the kick. And that is why on 3rd and 4, I have a big problem being conservative in that moment because they had that defense on their heels and they should have run a different play. We saw so much creativity in so many other moments. And in that moment, I was extremely disappointed because I had flashbacks to moments watching mm-hmm. games where I was going, what the hell are you guys doing? And it reminded me of that.
Real quick, does Bill Belichick run a dive play there?
Listen, Belichick, to begin to try and put myself in the head of the greatest mind in football, I won't even try. That man,
I'll tell you no.
That man will dial up some crazy thing that we have never seen, or Tom Brady QB sneaks and looks athletic for the first time in his life. If you watch Sunday Night Football, you saw some pretty unathletic moves from our boy Tom Brady. But listen, I've thought a lot about that play. I rewatched the whole game. And listen, there are a couple of critical moments where you look back and you go, man, the decision-making there sucks. And like mm-hmm. I said earlier, hindsight is always 20/20. It's really easy to look to be the couch coach and be yelling at the TV. But I think there are things that what I need to see is we watch these moments happen and they don't happen again. We make progression. We get better. The coaching gets better. The moments get better. Mitch gets better. If we see that, then I will be a happy Bears fan. And that's what I'm waiting to see.
I got a two-part question for you because I feel as though the officials played an intricate part in this game. I mean, it's clear to yeah. me as a former coach and player, they played a heavy rolling, and I put up some plays quickly today. I did. Well, how bad are these officials? And on top of that, do you think there needs to be replay of these roughing the quarterback calls? Because we can all agree that the speed of the game is fast, and to the naked eye, it may look like something, but the third eye is not blind, and that is the camera. So hopefully you get it right with these penalties because they're cool. I mean, the Leonard Floyd, I don't know if we were playing kick the can and he ran by the thing because he didn't even touch the quarterback. So do you think it should be a replayed penalty, especially the roughing the passer? And how bad are these officials?
Yeah, I think it is as many, not only in these Bears games, but in many other games throughout the NFL this season, if they're going to consistently call that in those moments, and it's, as we know, it's such a big play. It's a huge penalty yardage-wise. I think if you're going to do that, you have to be able to review that play because that was the worst. And there, mm-hmm. Let me tell you this. There have been a lot of horrible roughing calls this year, but that is by far and away the worst one I have seen. He's waving at Brock Osweiler. That's what it looks like. He literally waves at Brock Osweiler. He doesn't touch him. He's not knocked over. You have to be blind to have seen anything in that. I don't know what angle a ref could be looking at that play and have seen anything else than what was happening, which was he didn't get touched. I have no idea what was seen in that moment. And to me, if I was Nagy, I would have been tossed from that game because I would have mm-hmm. been losing my shit. I would have been going absolutely nuts on that referee because that was such a ludicrous call. And listen, you don't lose the football game because of one play. But there were a couple of game-changing moments, specifically the Burton play. I absolutely lost my mind because that changed the output of the game. They score a touchdown there.
Yep.
The game is over. The game is over. They go yep. up. It completely changed the flow of how that game was going, and yep. that's extremely frustrating. If you're an NFL team and if you're a fan, you get frustrated in those moments. And there were a couple of absolutely horrible penalties, and those are two of them. So the referees were atrocious in this game. There's no way around it. There were a lot of bad calls in that game, and it was apparent that it was just a bad refereeing crew.
If you're listening to Bears Hour Live for the first time, Paige DeMakos came on the show one time, and my reaction after she left was like literally blown away, almost like seeing Khalil Mack for the first time. I was like, this girl knows what she's talking. Ask Aldo. I mean, if he wants to jump on, he could tell you. I was like, this girl knows football. And if you're listening, you could see now, even my wife heard me say the same thing. So her opinion matters. I put up the play. Paige absolutely responded and talked about it. Adam Rank talked about it. It's very clear that the rule isn't broken. That completely turned around the tide of the whole game. It was a 15-point swing in that one because he turns the ball over on the next play. So you're 100% right. The game would have been over. The Bears would be in a different place in an ugly game, but really showcasing how good Mitch can be and this team could battle. So it's funny in football how narratives can define things and how, you know, how you look at it, how you decide to, you know, decorate your plate might make the food taste better to some people. But for me, it tastes like garbage because the Bears lost. So I got to get into these players, though. Is Jordan Howard, in your mind, being used correctly by this coaching staff?
No, he's not. And I know he fumbled the ball, and I was extremely frustrated in that moment because you got to put two hands on the football. He knows that. He's got to. Mm-hmm. He can't fumble in that moment. It's inexcusable. He's better than that. But guess what? Hall of Fame running back fumbled the football. That's what happened. It sucks that it happened in the goal line for a touchdown, but that doesn't change my opinion that Jordan Howard is not being utilized enough. And I love what they're doing with Tariq Cohen, and I don't think that changes what Tariq Cohen does. I think you need to utilize the run game more. You have a beefy offensive line, and when Howard gets going, he can really turn it on. And the thing for me is he doesn't have any rhythm right now because
exactly.
He's not being used enough. And people don't understand, if you talk to a running back, it's about progression throughout the game. It's about getting into a rhythm. It's about starting to break through tackles and get through holes. And that doesn't happen when you're not out there enough. And Howard's just not out there enough. And I've said that throughout every week so far this season. And I really, really thought that this was going to be the game. I really thought this Miami game. I told so many people, I go, listen, this is going to be his fantasy week. Like, this is, I know it. Like, this is going to be his week. They're really going to put him out there. And I think had he scored that touchdown, it would have been that week for him because they would have kept him out there and they would have given him the ball and that he would have seen that. And it was just disappointing to see him fumble in that moment because I think that was going to be kind of the turnaround game. But listen, guys, the weather's about to change. Football in Chicago changes when the weather sucks and the weather's about to get bad. And they better start running the football because he needs to get prepared to take the rock and hold on to the football. And if he's not getting the football, guess what's going to happen? He's going to start fumbling the football more often. That's how this happens. Got to get him in a rhythm. Got to start running the football more. And listen, it's part of Bears football. What are we doing here? I love Matt Nagy, and I love the creativity, but I want to run the damn ball, okay? That's intrinsic as a Bears fan. If you don't want to run the football, then you're not a Bears fan. Okay.
Well,
that's part of being a Bears fan.
He almost just took the game upon his shoulders again in overtime and brings you down the football field. Had you had a masterful coach that you expect, thinking two moves ahead, I think it's a different story. I mean, 19, you saw him, what you're talking about, getting in a rhythm. The offensive line, where gas, everybody's gas, it's so hot, all the stories and everything of that nature. Where's Jordan Howard? Trucking people down the football, carrying people. You think they want that 240-pound back coming at them at like that? No. So, Paige, you and I are like step for step. I don't know if we're related, maybe through family or something.
maybe, you never know.
Talk to me about Kevin White. Why is this guy on the football team? Is it only because he was a high round pick? Is that he's out there dressed? Because I don't see it, Paige. Tell me. Help me out here.
Listen, the guy's a talented dude. I don't understand why, if we're not going to use him, he's here. I mean, for him, like as an individual, for an athlete, this is pretty much his time to show that he has something, to either get re-signed or go somewhere else. And we're not using him at all. So I don't really understand what they're doing with him, or if he's not, I haven't heard anything out of camp. I've asked multiple people within the organization to give me the scoop, and it's been real quiet. So that always tells me that there's something interesting going on. So I don't know whether he's not practicing well, or they just, you know, really like Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel, but, you know, they drafted him so high, you think that they would, you know, find a way to try and see what they have in that guy. And they haven't. I mean, have you guys seen anything? Because I haven't. And I keep waiting to see something where he's there, and they're trying to incorporate him, or at least see what they have in him. And I haven't seen anything, and I don't know if there's something we don't know, or they just feel like they don't have a use for him, so they're not using him. But I think it's kind of peculiar, because I expected to see something from him. He's a really talented, athletic guy, and all I heard all summer was how great a shape he was in, and he finally got himself healthy, and now nothing. So it just feels like mixed messaging, so I feel like there's something going on.
Well, I got one more question. I know the chat room is fired up. Bobby's pulling questions over there. Bobby's the moderator. Bobby bombs. But I'm going to skip over a couple of questions here, because I want to make sure the Barflies get to ask you a couple. Is that okay?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, cool. Matt Nagy, my last question. Quote, if we take a sack, I'm up here and you're criticizing me. End quote. I'm not comfortable with a coach worrying about the media. You're talking about be aggressive, not worry about critics. Your thoughts on that comment?
Yeah, I don't like that from my head coach. I'm going to be honest with you. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. There are very few people in this world who can handle coaching in big markets. I mean, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston. The big cities with a lot of pressure and a lot of media. And guess what? Yes. Is the media overly negative in Chicago? 100%. Do they drive me absolutely insane? Listen, I'm part of the media, okay? And they drive me insane. So I don't like the sky is falling mentality. The Bears lost the football game. I knew that this team wasn't going 16-0, okay? They lost the football game on the road. If they come back and beat the Patriots this week, they're fine, okay? Even if they lose to the Patriots this week, they're still fine. They're still in first place in the division. I think everyone needs to relax, and the media in general. But that being said, back to your original question, yes, I don't like hearing that from my head coach, because he should not give a damn what the media has to say. Bill Belichick, as much as it drives the media nuts, and listen, I've had the pleasure of interviewing Bill, and Bill was awesome when he wasn't in front of a camera. He was a great conversation, great guy, awesome. He just hates standing in front of the podium, and he's not going to give you shit. And I don't blame him, because if I was up there, I'd be like, yeah, we're focused on Kansas City. Yep, focused on Kansas City. I would do the same thing. Why am I going to give away any information about my organization more than what I have to? He goes up there, he obliges, he does exactly what he has to do, he answers the questions, and he moves right along. The media can complain about it, but guess what? That recipe has worked pretty damn well for Bill Belichick and the Patriots for a long time. So, Matt, dude, don't worry about what the media is saying. They're going to criticize you no matter if you win 16 games or you lose 16 games. Welcome to Chicago, buddy. This is what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be criticized no matter what. We got a couple of questions for you, Paige, from the chat room, and then the Barflies hanging out. First one we got, not sure if you've seen the play where Lynch comes around the left side.
Bobby.
And stops because he thinks that Gore was going to get tackled or Eddie Jackson pulled up on the Wilson touchdown. If you were Coach Nagy, Do you call these players out during the film review?
Well, listen, if anybody thinks Nagy is calling out any of the defensive players in the film room, they're wrong, because Fangio runs that defense and Nagy ain't saying shit to the defensive players. That's a fact. So Fangio is the one running the show, and he traditionally will be a type of guy who will call people out. And if you've been around, I've been around a lot of defensive guys. Defensive guys tend to be, if you watched Hard Knocks and you saw Greg Williams go absolutely nuts this summer for the Browns, that's a lot of defensive guys. They tend to be like that. They're real rah-rah. That's just how football guys in general are, but especially defensive guys. I wouldn't be surprised if Vic is calling out guys individually in the film room. And to be honest with you, they deserve it. The defense did not play up to the caliber of what the expectations are and what the talent level is. But I do think, especially on the defensive side, the weather really impacted the guys. And I could tell right from the beginning of the game that it was going to be a tough game for the defense, because they looked gassed right away. And it wasn't because of energy level, it was just because of the humidity.
Right. All right, we got a couple fantasy questions from these guys in here, knowing that you're the, you know, holding down the fantasy fantasy answers. The first one is, leaning onto the fantasy football side, when do you think we start seeing Mitch get the start in these leagues after he, or after what he's done in the last two games?
Listen, if you're in a two-quarterback league like I'm in, Mitch is starting every week. Now, nobody forecasted him having the game he had against Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago, where he's the number one scoring quarterback in the league. I think he's going to have up and down games. If you are in a 12-team league and you're in a one-quarterback league, he's not going to be starting probably throughout this year. He's just not enough. He hasn't proven enough where he's going to be a consistent starter. But like I said, if you're in a 16-team league, if you're in a two-quarterback league, Mitch is a guy who's starting. I'm in a 16-team league, and Mitch is starting every week. He's been a pretty damn good quarterback. I projected him to be between 16 and 20, and I think that's where he's going to end up being. And that's pretty much what I expect from a Bears quarterback. I do think he can end up being a little higher, but like I told my boy Phil earlier, I got to see him play a complete game, and that is especially from a fantasy perspective.
All right, I'll throw the last one at you. It's from Greg Braggs Jr. He said, if Paige had a time machine, what Chicago sports moment would she take herself back to?
Oh, this is a great question. Great question from Greg. That's an easy one. I would definitely 120% go back to 1985 so I could watch the Bears win a Super Bowl, because I've said this before, I've been very lucky that in my lifetime I have watched every one of my professional and collegiate sports teams win championships. And the only team that I wasn't alive to watch win a championship is the Bears. And so that is very easy for me. I would 100% go back to 1985 so I could watch my Bears whoop up on every single team nearly that they played that season, and enjoy the trash talk that I would be having week in and week out.
Well, Paige, yeah, we got a bunch of Twitter questions for you. We call it Ask BHL. You mind sticking around? Here comes the music.
No, absolutely. Fire away.
It's that time again for Ask BHL. We've gathered up your questions from Twitter, the chat room. I'm going to serve them up here to the draft doctor. He's going to respond and give his diagnosis. It's kind of like WebMD, but this doctor's got your bear football remedy. Here we go.
All right, let's start this thing off with Kevin Janowski at Harp4803, who asked, with the possibility of no Mac or a hindered one, will Coach Fangio develop more blitz schemes to pressure Brady at opportune times?
What do you think, Paige?
You got, you got to hit Brady. The only way you're going to win this game is if you hit Tom. That is how you win football games against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Tom does not like getting hit. He didn't like getting hit when he was younger, and he especially doesn't like getting hit at 41 years old. And that offensive line is probably the worst he's ever had, and there is plenty of opportunities to get some pressure and get that ball down. There cannot be any of this nine-second shenanigans in the pocket that he had last night against the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? I was like, my God, I counted 9 seconds, and then he still fumbled the football. It was an horrible play. But you gotta blitz Brady. You got to get there, and I expect that Khalil Mack will play. I think his ankle injury, they'll tape him up, and they'll get him out there because I think this is a big moment for him, and I think unless he's really hurt, he's going to want to get out there and be able to get after Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think if they continue with what they did with the Dolphins and they try to sit back and cover 2 and 3, there's not going to be what you saw. Brady's going to pick you apart. Osweiler did it again. I know the heat played a role in it, but he can't do it. Page is 100% on the money. Vic's got to roll out some blitzes and get after Tom. That's the only way you're going to win.
All right, let's get into the trenches with this next question. Ryan Cox, at Mr. Ryan Cox, asked, what are your thoughts on having Cush and Daniels on a series-to-series rotation like they did yesterday, Paige?
I saw that question earlier, and listen, I thought the offensive line had played pretty poorly yesterday when I reviewed the game again today. Mm-hmm. I was not there. They had moments of looking good, but they looked gassed more than both lines, really. The defensive line and the offensive line both looked gassed throughout that game, and the offensive line did not play good enough in that game. And I can assure you, the offensive line needs to play better if they want to beat the Patriots this weekend at Soldier Field. So I saw that question and I thought about it and I said, listen, like, the offensive line in general just needs to play better. That game was a disappointment from the offensive line, and I need to see more. And I know Cush has been in and out and they're rotating guys in, but we got to see the best. Well, I got to see compete, and I want to see the best guys out there, and I want to see better play from our line than we saw this past weekend.
Yeah, I think you got to go Daniels and stop with the rotation. I think what Paige is talking about is very easy to remedy because Daniels, clearly, when he's out there, is a better athlete, and he could do the mauling and help get those creases for these backs to attack downhill, especially in some of this spread option game and those concepts with the mesh point to hold their ground and be able to pull and trap. He's just an athlete and a better football player in total than Eric Cush is. So I'm tired of seeing it. I think Daniels is time for him to take the starting spot again against a tough Patriot team. But, hey, that's when you learn the most. You play the best.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You have to
take that job, you know? Like, that's the clear word that you said there. Cush is a traveling man. He's been around to a lot of teams, he is not the better athlete, and that is very clear. But you have to take that job. You have to play better and show who you are. And we've got to see more from Daniels, and he's just got to be better, and he's got to take that job and cement himself as a starter. And I think that needs to happen, and it needs to happen this week, like I said, against the Patriots defense, who, like I predicted, is a little bit better than everyone gave them credit for.
Yeah, they are. All right, I took this next question and kind of meshed them together. It's one's from John Santucci, the Tooch, and the other one's from Air Jer, Jeremy Kramer. Do you think the line not looking good, basically the line not looking good, is because of the lack of commitment to the running game? It seems like Coach Nagy abandons the run, lower success rate, when he could benefit from power running and wearing the other team down.
Listen, I I think that's a little part of it. I think the Lions looked good in some of their games. I mean, they played nearly a perfect game against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So I think the thing is, I don't want to be overly reactionary to the Miami game, because I believe this, and I know people get upset, but I truly believe that the weather played a huge impact on that game. The team was not tired. They were very rested, and to show up and be that lethargic in those moments, it was because of the weather. I'm telling you that. So I know that we will see a better performance from this Bears team against the Patriots. We just will. And I think the line will look better. Now, do I think they will benefit from them running the football? Absolutely. I think the whole team will benefit from them running the football more. I don't know why we've abandoned that part of our game. And like I said earlier, I love what they're doing with Tariq Cohen. But Jordan Howard is a premier back, and to not utilize him, I think, is just a disservice to the talent that is on this football team. It just doesn't make sense. And I will continue to say that until I see what I need to see from the football team, and that is to feature Jordan Howard.
I'm waiting for it, too. I'm waiting for Howard's game to be about Howard, and I think everything else will open up. I'm baffled by it, because I was right with you, thinking this was going to be Howard's breakout game. It almost ended up being that, saying, hey, I'm here. Look at me taking you down the whole football field in the critical moment, but it didn't end up that way. But last one you got?
Yep, the last one I got is from Ben Druskula, at Benjamin Druskula. He asked if either of you can remember a worse tackling performance, both in effort and execution, that we seen yesterday.
Not this season. But I can assure you that I can remember many performances in past games where the tackling was absolutely atrocious. So I know we have all gotten very spoiled by this hype that has happened over the last few games. But I would tell you to watch some film from the last previous two seasons of the tackling and lack of tackling that was happening by the Bears defense. But just watch any game they played against Green Bay. That'll satisfy your need for no tackling happening, and you will look back at that Miami game and go, "Hey, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was." It was definitely a bad game, but I think the reaction that you're having is because we have expectations for this team now. We have a high expectations because of what we've seen from this defense and what we know they can be. So that performance was out of character. This is definitely not the worst performance I've seen. But it was a bad performance in the moment, in the context of this season. And I hope that we look back and go, that was the one game where that was out of character for this Bears defense.
Yeah, my expectation level, like, I was just dumbfounded. And this is a great question because, yeah, I could think of some of the Wanstead teams that were just horrific tackling. And, it was just hard to watch some of that. But the play of Eddie Jackson, to me, I think that's who he's, like, pointing out. Just the effort in that play against Albert Wilson was just, it was devastating to me as a coach, because I would be on the football field grabbing him and pulling him off and getting Houston Carson in the game. I'm sit the frig on the bench. I don't even want to see your face. That's the effort you're going to give? Now, granted, later in the game, he's coming up on those bubble screens, and he made a couple plays, but too little too late. You sent the message that you didn't give a crap, and I don't care. That would be that play would be replayed 20 times on Monday today to watch 100%. Your effort. Yeah, because that was just a travesty. And believe me, there's more that missed tackles. I mean, Roquan Smith missed tackles. Danny Trevathan missed quite a few times. It was, like, unbelievable. I heard one of the analysts on Bears Bar with Aldo talking about the sweat and the condensation on the bodies and the sweat and just sliding off people and all of that. But at the end of the day, you're a pro. Put your face in there and drop somebody. That's your job as a safety. And unfortunately, made Albert Wilson, a guy that the Bears were interested in signing, looked like he was Jerry Rice. And it was big. One play, a freaking 4-yard pass. Brock Osweiler's bringing you down. The guy with all the pressure on him, Mitch Trubisky's playing a great game, brought you back to win it, and you let him down. Oh,
it was disappointing. It was super disappointing to see that performance. But I will say this, and I truly believe this. I think that they overlooked Miami. I think they were buying the hype of themselves. I think they were sipping the juice. They had 2 weeks of Chicago media telling them how great they were and how this team's going to be a Super Bowl team. Let me tell you this, Bears fans. Super Bowl teams do not happen in September, okay? It does not matter, okay? Super Bowl teams happen in December. That's when teams are doing the grunt work and making things happen. So let's not crown this team early on. I think that's what you saw. You saw this team look past Miami. Now, I'll say this. Let's see what this team is made of. Let's see. They use that as motivation to come home and kick some ass against a really good New England Patriots team. And if that happens, then we see the character of this football team, and they're a much better football team than everybody thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. And I hope that's what we see, and that's what I expect to see. And I was so glad to see the New England Patriots win on Sunday Night Football, so I didn't have to deal with an extra motivated Tom Brady after a loss. So let's just hope we take that, put it in the can, and use it for some motivation to go out and win a big game on Sunday.
Well, I know we've kept you on, but I don't think that you're upset with me for keeping you on talking Bears football. I mean, I could be wrong. No. You could keep it 100 with me, but I'm just sitting here listening to you, and you're like, saying everything I would be saying on the show if you were gone. So I don't
know. We're good, dude. Listen,
are you good to stay? You want to stay a little while longer, or do you want to promote your stuff?
You guys know, listen, I'm Greek and I tell it like it is. So if I wanted to leave, I would just tell you guys, hey, I got to go. Okay, there's no part of me that would feel bad about telling you that I got to go. I am cool to watch. I'm watching the Packers game.
Yeah, me too.
Ask some more questions.
I do.
Go ahead. Shoot him.
I got a question from one of my coaching friends. He's listening in, and he said, Paige, at the end of regulation, Nagy lets about 15 to 19 seconds run off the clock instead of having about 58 seconds and a timeout. Two timeouts. He calls a timeout, lets the clock run down. Then he comes out and takes a knee and takes it to overtime. Is this the right call? And what kind of message is this sending to your offensive team?
I can tell you this. I was also very upset during that moment using some choice words. So that can tell you everything you need to know, Coach. I was not happy. I was not happy in that moment either. Because, listen, this is what happens. You can't show me that offense that I saw against Tampa Bay and then start to play conservative against this Miami defense that was getting exposed. I don't want to see you dial it back. I want to see you dial it up. And I'm okay making some mistakes along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I understand that. That's growing pains. That's part of getting better on offense. But don't dial it back in moments after you show it to me. That's like the biggest tease. I'm like, Nagy, you're showing me what you got, and then you dial it back in. And that just drives me nuts. I want, like I said, I want gas pedal down. I want wins. I want, we want to kick everyone's ass, run up the score. Like, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see us back down in any moments. And that, as somebody who loves football, I was extremely frustrated in that moment. So that, I hope that answers your question, Coach, because I was real pissed off.
Well, obviously it does. And I was right there with you because I think you're sending mixed messages. And to your point, you want to be aggressive, be you. We're going to do this, and we're going to run a freaking shovel pass on fourth down to a wide receiver to get a first down. But everything philosophically that you've preached to your team about winning on the road and everything, you dropped the ball there. You dropped the ball in being aggressive. This was a hot young quarterback throwing dime balls out. I mean, some of the balls that he threw. And I can't wait because I do the Tape Doesn't Lie series. That series has, you know, so many views on it. I keep it 100. I've been very, very concise about putting positive Mitch up and negative Mitch up. Some of these throws, Paige, they are Pro Bowl level throws to Taylor Gabriel. Yep. Just dropping it right where it needs to be. I mean, that's growth, and he's feeling it. I know what you said in the first half. I totally agree with you, but sometimes the measure of a man is made when the chips are down. That's what I want to see in my quarterback. He came out there, guns a-blazing. Now, granted, the freaking spin throw across his body, he throws it across the field. I wanted to go out there and strangle him, but he's a young quarterback learning. Like, what are you doing? Why are you throwing that ball in that situation? It could cost us. But in reality, he drops the ball and then it's over with. But he's got to trust this kid in those moments. That's how they become great. And he didn't. Go ahead.
100%. And I would say this. I know I brought it up earlier, and I'm going to bring it up again to prove the point. Everybody makes mistakes, okay? Tom Brady, who is widely considered the greatest quarterback of all time, literally, please go back and watch this play so you know what I'm talking about, to everybody listening. He had 9 full seconds in the pocket. 9. To throw the football. 9. 9, okay? 9.
Yep.
He did not throw the football and then fumbles the ball after having it for 9 seconds. Doesn't throw it away. Okay, in a critical moment in last night's game where Chiefs are starting to make a move back, he has 9 seconds and doesn't throw the ball away. He fumbles the ball in a huge critical moment. So just remind yourself, mistakes happen. Trubisky's going to make mistakes, okay? But he's shown us progress, and that is why I'm happy with what I've seen from him so far. I want to see more. I definitely want to see more. And like I said earlier, I want to see complete games. And that will really start to cement my excitement for him. But for all the people that are hating on Trubisky, he had a great second half. That interception shouldn't have happened. Bottom line, shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have been a play that was happening because he threw a touchdown pass. Play before it should have been a touchdown. So as far as Trubisky is concerned, I was really happy with what I saw. And I think we're going to see a good performance this week. I really do. I have a really great feeling about the team heading into this week against New England.
Is there a good loss, especially when you're looking at a young head coach and a young team?
Yes, I believe. As somebody who played sports, like I know that I learned a lot, sometimes more in losing than I did in winning. And if you talk to athletes, I talked to a lot of these guys in the locker room. Sometimes, dude, taking one on the chin, especially when you're feeling yourself, okay, which is what I think happened, right? This team went in there feeling real good,
yeah,
and all the juice, and feeling real cocky, like this team isn't good. We're playing a backup, blah blah blah. You saw exactly that type of attitude, and that reflected in how they played. And nothing is better than before they're playing the New England Patriots to get knocked in the mouth and prove a point. So if there was a time where they were going to take a loss and they were going to learn a lesson from it, it's this moment right here. A very winnable game. They lose in overtime, and they got a bad taste in their mouth all week long. They come home, and there is going to be it's going to be so loud on Sunday. It's going to be an awesome environment, and the guys are going to be pumped, and they're back home. And I think if you see this team come out and win a game and play a really, really complete good game and come off of this loss against Miami, you can look back at the loss and go, okay, that was a teaching moment there. They looked back and they said, that was a good loss. It really set the tone for the rest of the season, where you look ahead and you look at the schedule and you go, man, they could really go on a run.
Yeah, exactly. Paige, I got one more for you. I know you said, you don't get to the Super Bowl in October or September, but, looking that you get there in December, looking at our last 4 games in December, we got the Rams, the Packers, the Niners, and the Vikings, with the last 2 games are away games. In my opinion, we can't afford to lose these games now with those last 4. You know, those are our bringing us down to the playoffs, or they're sending us home. Do you think this game comes back to haunt us, or do you think, you know, we could still overcome this and keep on moving?
No, I think we can overcome it and keep on moving, because I don't think that it's going to take, what are we going to have to win, 14 games to win this division or make the playoffs? I don't think so.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I think that's for people to look back and go, oh my God, this loss. They go, do you think this team was going 16-0? Because I sure didn't. So I think you're going to lose football games, and you're going to lose road games. It's going to happen. It's the NFL. This happens all the time. Minnesota lost to the Buffalo Bills at home, okay? It's a team that was largely considered to be the Super Bowl favorite going into this season. So I think, yes, it is that game. Could it come back to haunt us? Absolutely, yes. But I think you look at those games that you just mentioned and you go, okay, San Francisco without Jimmy G now looks a lot better. I know that they're currently beating the Green Bay Packers, but I'm not intimidated to go to San Francisco and play that team. I'm not. Maybe I'll be in December, but that team's not a good football team. The Arizona Cardinals beat that football team. I mean, there's not a good football team. So I think they have to win some of these games coming up here? Yeah. Can they take two or three or four losses in a row? No, they can't afford that. But I think one loss is important to keep in context, that this team wasn't going to go 16-0. And I think that's important to remember.
Yeah, and the best thing about this game right now is, one, Green Bay is losing, and two, I got it muted so I don't have to hear Collinsworth fire up and talk about Green Bay, because you know how he gets.
Aaron Rodgers.
He does.
Yeah, everybody loves them some Aaron Rodgers. Every time he's out there, they're all salivating, talking about him, can't wait for him to play. Is every time his commercials, because he's on, it's what seems to be every other commercial nowadays during football games, I want to puke. He's like, he gives me this awful sense in my mouth every time I see him on my TV, because he's got this smug look on his face. And every time I'm like, oh my God, get this guy off my TV. So all the media, they all salivate over him. And I have, we'll talk about my real thoughts about Aaron Rodgers on a later podcast.
Well, before we let you go, Paige, I'm going to let Draft Dr. Phil go ahead and tell you about a little something special that he's got going on.
Yeah, before I do that, Paige owes me something, and I'm going to put her on the spot, start calling her One Take Paige. Can you do me that favor? Because barflies love Paige. Bobby coming on here calls you the queen of Chicago. Sports.
That's right.
Queen of Chicago here. You're coming on Bears Barm. You got a nickname rolling in here. So can you give us who you are and the station ID for us here at Bears Barroom Radio Network?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, you asked me to do that so long ago, and
I know.
You're calling me out, and I deserve it. I'm a woman of my word.
I keep it 100 here.
I appreciate that. As I said earlier, in my family, the way we grow up, everything with going on in our heads, whether it's not so nice or nice, comes out of everybody's mouth. So that's the way I grew up. Some people can't handle that, but I can, because that's how it is in the DeMacos family. So, I can definitely take care of that. I have a microphone here at my house, so I'll record you a very nice message and send it to you tomorrow. I promise.
Okay. I was just going to say do it now. You sound wonderful, but if you want to do it like that.
I gotta deliver some extra special since I really dropped the ball this time. Okay. I promise. Tomorrow when I record my podcast, I'll give you guys a nice shout out and I'll send it on over.
Look at that. My son saw your picture tonight because I was putting them to bed, brushing their teeth. I'm like, Daddy's got to do his show tonight. And he's like, Daddy, who's coming on your show? Because my wife will always say, he's got guests. You know, we talk in front of, they're 4 and a half. So I showed him your picture. I showed him your picture. He's like, Auntie Jenny's coming on your show. I go, no, it's Paige DeMacos. So you look like a little bit like my sister. So it was so cute being a dad. But anyway.
Shout out to the little kids. We got to get him some Bears gear.
He's got. I did. I was up in Chicago with Aldo. We went everywhere to find a Jordan Howard jersey and a Mitch Trubisky. I really wanted a Mac jersey, but they didn't have any for kids. But we're going to get the Mac one because he really wants a Khalil Mac. So, yeah, we're going to dress him up. But I got a surprise.
Maybe I'll see if I can get some of the guys to sign something for the kiddos. No promises, but I'll see if I can get some of the boys to sign something.
That'll be nice. Wow. These twins will be very happy here. That's very nice of you, but no pressure at all. But I got a gift for you because tell us a little bit. You're doing something in the summer, and Bobby pointed it out to me tonight, and he's like, yeah, Paige is doing like a fantasy football cruise or something like that.
That's right.
So take a listen. Take a listen to this before you tell us about it.
Love, fantasy football, and you come aboard. Paige is inviting you, and love, trap while you're aboard. We gotta go, and so should you. The draft boat, bringing fantasy drafting fun. The draft boat, Tamako's inviting everyone. Come on this adventure and make all your draft dreams true. Draft love, won't hurt to get on board. It's a party cruise with fantasy galore. It's love. Welcome aboard, everyone, to Marco's Fantasy Draft.
There you go. I'm giving you a music promo for your draft fantasy draft cruise.
Yo, this is incredible. I had no idea what I was coming into. That's so good.
Listen, I did that literally in like 26 minutes. Bobby, I've been so busy. My wife dropped her phone in the toilet. We got to get a new iPhone. I got the kid. It's the truth. 100%. I'm like, I got to do this song for her. Bobby, I go, can you grab me that Love Boat music? And Bobby wrote the lyrics. I sang the song, recorded it, and I got it to the Super Bowl. I go, we got to surprise her tonight with this.
Yeah.
You guys killed it. You guys brought something to the table. I've been a guest on a lot of podcasts, but nobody's ever done anything like that for me. You guys really cemented yourselves as my favorites.
Winning.
That's
exactly. That was the goal, to be perfectly honest. Because if you can't tell, like every guest I have, I really truly. I don't blow smoke. Every time I say that, someone's taking a shot in Norway or Scotland because I say it a lot, but I don't. And I certainly love Paige because she speaks the truth with a football acumen. Like, you can hang with me and my family anytime. I wanted to do that for you. That's awesome that you're doing a cruise. I'll clean up the song to make it perfect, because I didn't have enough time. I asked Bobby. I'm like, dude, I put that together. It sounds like me and you say it. So, yeah. But I will text it to you or email it to you, whatever.
Need it.
So definitely, you got it.
Yeah, definitely need it. I'm putting it out on social media. It's going to be the official video of the Fantasy Football FC Cruise, which I'm super pumped up about, and I'll definitely tell you guys more
yeah,
about
tell
it.
Us, tell us about it. Tell us about it real quick.
Yeah, it's a really exciting event, and there's actually going to be a former Bears player that's going to be on there that I can't name yet, but maybe I will announce it on a podcast with you guys at a later date. But really excited about what we're doing, and there's going to be a couple other former players that are going to join, and we got myself and Pilar Lastra and Adam Ronis and Jake Arians, and we got a big, great team of fantasy analysts, and it's the first of its kind, and it's ultimate draft experience. Look up Coco K and imagine yourself having a private tailgate on this beautiful island in the Bahamas, and then you're drafting with your buddies on a cruise ship. It really is not a better option. I've done the Vegas stuff with my friends. I've done New York. I've done different trips. This is next level, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. So if you guys want to check it out, it's fantasyfootballatsea.com, and you can see what we're doing. And like I said, when we announce our Bears player, maybe I'll announce it on the podcast with you guys.
That would be so dope, and I would love that if you did that, because I'm telling you, fans, if you're not following this woman, I mean, she is not only tremendous with the football knowledge, but she's a very good person. The family, I'm a big fan of you, and I speak the truth. So I can't thank you enough for coming on and spending the amount of time that you spent on Bears Hour Live with my boy Bobby Bombs and myself, and Aldo, the super producer in the background, smiling, grinning from ear to ear. Thank you for dropping the drops and the songs for us tonight, because, you know, we're bringing it here. I'm proud of this show and what we do, and I'm so happy to have guests like you come on with us.
Yeah, it was awesome. I love being on with you guys. You guys know I love joining, and I will definitely be back. You guys let me know when. And like I said, I will be a woman of my word and deliver you a nice ID tomorrow morning. And in the meantime, guys, I again, thank you so much for having me on. I love talking Bears football. And guys, whoever is in town this weekend and is going to be at the Bears game, hit me up on Twitter. I'll be tailgating before the game. I would love to see any of the barflies down there, take pictures, meet up, have a beer, whatever. I'm super excited to be back home this weekend and hopefully watch the Bears kick some ass.
Yes. Got to do it, guys. You got to get out there, represent Bears Barroom, meet Paige. Not only is she smart, she's beautiful. So if you're single, I don't
thanks,
know.
Dude.
I don't know.
Nah, locked up, but.
I was trying to get more barflies, Paige. You got to help out. No, I'm joking. You're great. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this with us, man.
Yeah, thanks again, Paige. Right, barflies, you can check out Paige at the_sports page and go subscribe to TD Fantasy Podcast. We look forward to hearing from you on future Barroom shows, Paige. And, you know, we can't wait for that fantasy cruise to roll around next August.
Thanks, dudes. Have a good night. And like I said, bear down. Go Bears this weekend.
Bear down.
Bear down. Thank you so much, Paige. The song will be in the mail. Trust me. What a great guest, Bobby. What do you think?
Yeah, she is. She's awesome, man. And she just brings it all the time. I mean, 100%. She doesn't beat around the bush. And I don't know if any of the barflies are looking into this cruise that she's doing. But today, honestly, today is the last day for the early bird special on that cruise. So if you want to go on that cruise, today is the last day. I want to say that you save $200 a ticket on if you buy those things today. So check it out. Maybe throw her a line. Maybe you get a little something else. But, yeah, man, today's the last time to do it.
Well, she's tremendous. The barflies are tremendous. This show and your first delve into being the moderator of the show, I can't say that you had any Josh Bellamy's tonight. And
well,
you
thanks.
Certainly weren't Kevin White. You were getting the ball thrown your way, and you did a great job. And I appreciate you jumping in here, doing that thing with me. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better guest.
Oh, I know. 100%. And, I mean, that was an easy day. Let me get this in there, though, Phil. We got that Swag Shop promotion going. So make sure you follow at Bears Barroom for all your football coverage. Get to the Swag Shop for that special promotion that we're doing. Like we said the other day, temperatures are dropping. You need that hoodie and that beanie starting or now going until Tuesday. It's already been going. Tuesday at 12 Central, it stops. All hoodies and hat beanie purchases from the Swag Shop will have free shipping. If you purchase more than the combo, only the hoodie and the hat will have free shipping. BG's out there tossing the goods around, you know, so no matter where you're at, you're getting it. North America, across the pond, it really doesn't matter. The only thing you have to do is enter promo code BG Special. That's all capitals, BG Special, and you'll receive the promo. Get to the Swag Shop, check out the gear, hook yourself up with the hoodie hat combo. Bears Hour Live, all Bears Barroom Radio Network shows are brought to you by Verdoliak Law Group and BetChicago.com. Visit Verdoliak.com or give them a call and explain your situation. I'm sure they can help you out with whatever you need. Be sure to check out BetChicago.com, one of the hottest new websites and sports betting apps available, dedicated to sports betting. Get ahead, get those wagers, get that Christmas money, get that barroom swag money, get your fantasy cruise money, whatever you need money for. I almost killed it right there. Whatever you need money for, get out there and get it. Thanks, Phil. Although I appreciate you guys letting me go ahead and run this thing tonight, moderate a little bit for you guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. You know, Phil, go ahead. You can.
Is there any comments from the chat room tonight? Were they fired up?
Oh, yeah, man. They were. Well, these last couple ones are talking about Rodgers.
They're all responding to the Packers game. Yeah, Aaron.
We got some other ones though. Talking about Paige is on fire. Paige is always bringing the heat. Some of the people love the Love Boat song. the BG Special thing came up in there. People are ordering some stuff. Never mind, I'll skip that one. This is a
TV show. we dropped a few tonight. Even Paige was bringing the hardcore language and straight up truth. So you could say what you want. But if you haven't gone into the Swag Shop, go check it out. I got a Scully when I was in Chicago from the super producer, and I just can't wait. It's getting cold here to rock that. I know Ryan Cox was telling me about his bald head, and I hope he's going in there getting that Scully cap for the cold that's coming. So I think you got to check that stuff out. The Swag Shop, Barflies, tonight was a great night. Hopefully Aaron's acting doesn't get him to the end zone before midnight or wherever we are in the time zone right now, because I have no clue, because we just straight up talked football just now. But another great show. Paige is obviously one of my favorites. Bobby, you did a great job. I just had a tremendous time breaking this down, especially after a loss. I don't think I've smiled this much on a show after such a loss. She was very therapeutic as well as honest, and that's important. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. Thank you for coming here. And if you're listening to the podcast, we're going to have Bears 100 Proof coming out to you on Wednesday. On Thursday, you got the Tooch and the Goon. Wednesday night, you have Buffon 55.
Yep.
And then the Tooch and the Goon Thursday. And then you got the Mike North Advantage. The guy's on a hot streak.
Friday morning, Mike North. Oh, he dropped a couple this week, though. Mike's kind of, you know, getting back on that, snugging that seat down, but he's still killing it, man. It really doesn't matter. I mean, he's already up. I want to say he took one down or one this week out of the four, maybe two. He won one out of the four, so he went 1-3 this week. But either way, that makes this dude, what, 19-4-1? I mean, you can't compete with that, We got all kinds of stuff going on. Barflies, you guys know what it is. Share everything we got in the bar room. Send it out to your friends. Tag people. Tag Facebook. Open it all up. Shoot it around. Like, let's make this thing big, and maybe we'll get our own fantasy cruise going. Who knows?
The Bears Barroom Cruise Boat.
That's right.
Bar flies meet and greet.
It'll but be I'm... fucking karaoke night every night. You know where you can find Phil on that stage. Still.
Well, on Sunday morning against the Patriots, you got the Barfly tailgate show with none other than this guy, Bobby Bombs, leading his pack of wolves, so to speak, the Barfly tailgate show.
That's right.
To get you ready for those Patriots and that Patriots game. I know Aldo's reacting, and I thought he was reacting to something I said, but apparently it was the Packer game. So being aggressive with 40 seconds shows that you could win games like that. So
wow.
Unfortunately, they just did.
Good work. You must be a professional.
I try. You know, I try. It's unfortunate that I got to be this good when the piss yellow and green did what they did. But
I know, man.
But a great show. If you're tuning in on the podcast, thank you, as well as all of you. That's all I got for you tonight, man. I'm getting prepared for tomorrow's night. I got to sing another song tomorrow and send it to Aldo.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Barflies, we're going to let you all out of here. Boys, again, I appreciate it, gentlemen. It's been a blast. Like Phil said, check out that Barfly tailgate show. Not like I'm... you know, like I got any favoritism or nothing going on. I'm just saying.
And the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as